Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Hey, I sent an email, I think I copied you on it, to Jason Allen and Charles Smith at Midwestern mm-hmm. and shared with them some of the metrics. I'm not going to brag on ourselves, but some of the metrics are pretty good for this podcast. But I did so simply to thank them for the sponsorship. I think they're the third sponsor we've had. Yeah. We've had Vander Blumen from the beginning, and now we've had a couple of others. But they've been with us most all of 2016, and I'm very appreciative of that and look forward to even more time together.
Are you preparing for the changing ministry landscape? You can get your Master of Divinity degree at Midwestern Seminary. The MDiv, Midwestern's flagship degree program, is their primary track for ministry preparation. At just 81 hours, the Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering you everything you need and nothing you don't. Join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Join the movement today and find out more at mbts.edu/mdiv.
So we're going to talk about friendliness to guests by church members, a very popular topic and sometimes a controversial topic. And when you or I were talking about a writing that I was looking at doing, you said the first thing you have to talk about is what I used to hear in consultations mm-hmm. all the time. We are the friendliest church in town.
But you're not.
But you're not. In fact, most of the time when they would say that, it would be so evident that they're not the friendliest church in town. It'd be so evident that they weren't friendly to me, much less being the friendliest church in town, that they did not have an awareness of who they were, how they acted, and what they were doing. So we're going to look at a few of these reasons, six to be specific. We're going to look at six reasons why churches really aren't friendly to their guests. And I'm asking the leaders to listen very carefully because you may see yourself in the mirror.
All right. Number one is that there is a holy huddle syndrome.
This is almost excusable, but then again, it's not. Mm. When you walk into a place, my natural gravitation, being an introvert, is I want to find someone that I know, that I can talk to, with whom I'm comfortable.
So you actually do want to talk to people?
I don't want to talk to the other people.
Oh, okay.
So I will find someone that I know, and I'll make a beeline to that person. And I will strike up a conversation. I'll say, keep talking, because if I don't keep talking, then I'm going to have to go talk to someone that I don't know or I casually know. Now, when you talk about people in the church, they walk in, they're glad to see others. Who do they go see, Jonathan?
The people that they know and are friendly with.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but who do they exclude?
Everybody else.
Everybody else.
Especially guests.
Yes, especially the guests. The guests walk in, and I've seen this many times in consultations, and there's chatter going on, and there's laughter. It feels like a happy place, except for the fact that you're excluded if you're a guest. You don't know what's going on. Maybe you had a perfunctory greeting by the greeter, but that's it. You walk through the door. No one's speaking to you. No one's looking. It's a natural reaction, but you need to have some supernatural reality and break away from that. And many churches are not friendly because they're in the holy huddle. Mm-hmm. We call it the holy huddle syndrome.
So how do they combat that?
The awareness, number one.
Just intentionality and awareness.
It's just like, it's like evangelism. It's just do it. Just be intentional. Look around. See who you do not know. I am currently doing that in my church. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm making myself get out of my comfort zone.
I might have to come just to watch that.
Yeah, you would.
I'd Facebook Live it.
My daughter-in-law, Rachel, said, you just aren't being yourself, Tom. She said, what do you mean? You're being
you're friendly.
She said, I'm having to overcome my introversion because it's a small church, and I know those who are a part of the church, so I know when there's someone on the outside. In fact, I greeted someone recently, and I said, I'm Tom Rainer. He said, what's the last name? Rainer, R-A. He said, oh, I know that. I said, what's your name? He said, Price Rainer.
Whoa.
We ended up finding out that his grandfather was my great uncle.
Oh, wow. So he's related to the pastor as well.
Yes, he was related. We had a lot of Rainers in attendance because he had his family of four, I believe. Wow. That was there. So if I had not gone up to him and introduced myself, I would have been missing out on one of the family.
Yeah, there you go.
So Yeah, it's intentionality. It's especially difficult for me. Some people are just natural at it, but you have to have an eye for those that you do not know.
Do you think this is a bigger problem in small or larger churches, or more, maybe not a bigger problem, but more apt to happen in larger churches than smaller churches, maybe?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When you're in a smaller church, you have more in, it's possible that you have more ingrained relational patterns.
Oh, okay.
And so really it's the family and friends church. You may go greet someone, but they don't really feel like that they're a part of the group, part of the family. And so I don't see this as size related in terms of attendance at all.
Yeah.
I see that it can happen in any size church.
Because it happened in the larger church because people don't, you get lost in the crowd more.
You don't know who the members and guests are.
Yeah.
And even though the pastor may say, hey, this person may have been going here 10 or 12 years, you just go up and greet them anyway. That's tough.
Yeah, people don't do that.
Yep, they don't do that.
All right, number two, the stand and greet satisfier. I know you love this.
And I've gotten in so much trouble about talking about the stand and greet time. Here's the reaction to it, Jonathan. Almost all the guests say they don't like it.
Yep.
And some of the members say they do like it.
It's probably the members that live in number one there, the Holy Huddle syndrome.
And so you're talking about all, I have yet to meet a guest, and I know there are exceptions to that, but I've yet to meet a guest that really likes the stand and greet time. Do you remember when many churches used to do the guests sit down and members stand up?
Yes.
I mean,
we did that when I was at the church I was growing up.
I mean, think of their view.
I never thought of it that way.
Think of their visual view. I mean, think of what they're looking at. That we've gotten past what I used to call the Holy Honey view, and we have now.
Wow. We went there.
Now we still have something very similar, and it's stand and greet one another. Okay, before you take me on this, and
I'm not taking you on. I agree.
No, I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking to our listeners. First of all, we will just agree to disagree for those of you who like the stand and greet time. So we'll stop there. But this is what I'm saying about the stand and greet time. It can and often does become a substitute for genuine greeting.
Yes.
And so we're going to be friendly during the stand and greet time, but the rest of the time, we're just going to be our normal groupie selves, and we're not going to speak groupie within our group. And y'all, see, sometimes y'all don't see
that. I thought you meant grumpy, and I was like,
no, okay. Groupie.
Okay.
I wish y'all could see some of the expressions that Jonathan makes when I say some of these words. So we're just going to be we're going to be to ourselves and to those that we know. I'm just saying, don't let the welcome time, whether it's called the stand and greet or the stare and growl, whatever you want time, don't let that time become a substitute for true friendliness. Many churches think they're friendly because they have a stand and greet time where people turn on a personality for about 72 seconds and they turn it off.
All right, number three is the I don't live here reality.
I have been to so many churches, and again, the reason I'm prefacing that because I used to do a lot of consultations, and I would show up at some point during the worship services, and I would try to find where to go in. And I would say one out of three times, I couldn't find the entrance. Mm. There was no marking. I'd pull on a door. Nope, let me go try this one. There was no one standing around to tell me. I don't know if one out of three still stands, but the whole issue is this. Oftentimes, I didn't know where to park. Oftentimes, I didn't know if when we had young children, where the preschool was. Oftentimes, I didn't know where the restrooms were once I got there. And the members say, but everybody knows where everything is in our church. Mm-hmm. That's because you live there. But those who are coming from the outside don't live there. And I'm using live euphemistically, but the reality of it is, and I give the example in the show notes, one guest said that she tried to open three doors before she was able to find the place. It's an issue of signage. It's an issue of clearly marked areas. It's an issue of having greeters both outside and inside. It's saying to guests, we know that this is likely your first time here, and we want you to feel as wanted, welcome, and as comfortable as possible.
All right, number four is the insider language mystery.
Yeah, usually acronym.
Yeah, this is a Lifeway problem too.
Yeah, I know, but I've tried to stop it.
I was in a meeting today and used a Lifeway acronym, and it didn't work because the people weren't from Lifeway.
Which acronym did you use?
I was talking about trustees and NTO.
Oh, new trustee orientation.
Exactly. It makes sense to you.
It makes total sense to me. And our divisions, we used to have church resources division.
CRD.
And so it's CRD. And what do we call the retail division? CSD or?
Stores.
Stores. And then before it was IT, it was technology division. So
TD.
We'd say TD. And then we talk about our bottom line, and if it was in the division, it was CBCOA. If it was on the bottom line, BFBO. I would hear all these and when I first came here, I started telling people, stop talking in acronyms. I'm an outsider right now. I want to learn this place, but don't say them anymore. That happens in churches. It's not just acronyms. It's after the service, we're going to have a fellowship in the parlor. Where's the parlor? You know, that's insider language.
And you better not be having a fellowship in the parlor, because fellowship implies fried chicken. And that
why
means,
does fellowship? Why,
because we're Baptist. And in the parlor, man, you bring fried chicken in the parlor, you know, Susie's going to get all over you.
That's not my point, Jonathan.
Okay.
You went directly to food. My point was...
Oh, I thought that was always the point.
The point is that we can say things about words and locations and ministries, and people on the outside do not have a clue. One of the reasons, and I'm not going to highlight any one of these, one of the reasons that I really like announcement services, you know, there's some organizations that will do that, and you will give them a script, and if it's insider language, some of the better ones will come back and say, I don't know what this means, so I don't think the guests will know what it means.
Yeah.
And so you send your announcements, and then they do a video recording, and you put that on there, and it's... It's helpful because it's not only because it's done professionally and done well through video, but it's also helpful because you have someone checking who does not know your church, and they'll come back and say, "This I don't get this one." So you'll make the changes in order to accommodate guests. Jeremy Roberts Church,
yes.
Highlands,
the Church of the Highlands,
Church
in
of the Highlands,
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hey, Jeremy, in case you're
having him on soon, by
yes.
the way.
Having him on soon, talking about Invite Your One and how well he did that one. They use a professional greeting service.
Video announcements, I think.
I think so. I asked him the cost, and I don't remember, but it was so much more affordable than I thought it was. And it was really good. It was really well done. And the fact of the matter is, most of the people thought it was a church member.
Mm.
Just someone standing up there making announcements, and it was on a big screen. It did well. But the point, again, is... Ask yourself, are the words I'm saying, are the words that are going on the screen something that a brand new person would understand who doesn't know anything about your church, anything about your denomination, anything about anything?
Now, you know what would help in these first four?
What's
that? And actually, all six of them, I guess, but the first four especially, is a secret guest survey.
Oh, you're going to make that available?
Yep. Put that in the link in the bottom of the show notes.
That's good. I love.
Use that a couple times a year, and you'll find out about this.
Yeah, have someone from the outside who's never been to your church, and I like your idea of twice a year, picked two different seasons of the year, so you're not hitting one particular one. Have them fill out that survey, meet with you, and see what outsiders are really seeing, saying, and thinking. Very helpful suggestion.
All right, the fifth way that churches aren't really friendly to guests is the unhappy kid / unhappy parent problem.
I've been asked this question, and I don't want to make it a universal or blanket answer, but someone said, after the pastor, what is the first staff member you would hire?
Ooh.
And I say children's minister.
Yes.
And the reason I say children's minister is a number of reasons, because they are a special category of people that have vulnerabilities that others do not have. If you want to reach young families, you've got to make certain you're reaching the kids. So, you know, it used to be pastor, then worship leader, then maybe minister of education, you know, the youth students, and then maybe you would get a children's minister. These days, I would say that my number one choice staff person is a children's minister. Whether you can get him or her full-time or part-time, that is the path I would go, because there are many reasons for that. I mean, there's just liability, safety, and sanitation reasons why you need someone. There's the volunteer issue why you need someone, but there's also the guest issue. At my church, I heard one of the leaders say, such and such says they love this church, and I was ready for them to talk about the pastor and the preacher. And they said, yeah, they come back every Sunday because their kids say,
yeah,
we want to come back to the children's ministry.
It's like the old adage, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Yeah.
If the kids aren't happy, the parents aren't going to be happy, and they're right. going to find somewhere else.
P parents are not, most parents are not, that are looking at churches, are not going to waste their time going to a church where the previous experience was negative and the kids are screaming, I don't want to go back there. Mm-hmm. So this is, among other things, children's ministry, kids' ministry, preschool ministry is a guest issue, among other things.
That's why it's great to have a good children's minister.
You know one?
I do. Married to her.
Yeah, she is a good one.
Number six, the 6+1 dilemma. You've introduced math into the Rainer on Leadership for the first time, I believe.
Yeah, but I'm not putting an equals on there. Okay. I know that if you do 6+1, of course you get 7. I'm referring to the 7 days of the week. And here is the reality of guest friendliness. The reality of guest friendliness is an overflow of who you are the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
If you are only friendly to guests on Sunday, even if you make an extra effort to be friendly to them, and that's all you are, it's not going to work. This basically comes down to a theology of servanthood, a Christology of servanthood, if you will. You know, what did Jesus say? The last shall be first, the first shall be last. How did he exemplify that? By washing of the feet, doing the lowliest servant task. When we, throughout the week, are truly servants, when we have an attitude of servanthood, when we begin to look for the best in others and do for them, that shows up on Sunday. Guest friendliness is not a one-day-a-week reality. Guest friendliness is a 7-day-a-week discipleship. And so the problem in many of our churches is we have this behavior 6 days a week, and then we try to turn it another way the 7th day of the week. I love going into churches that are transparent, that are real, where people just act like they do the rest of the time. They don't have this facade of friendliness. They don't have this holy attitude that is different than at work or other places. They're just who they are. That type of transparency, that type of reality shows up in ways that you don't often see visibly, but you can sense it, and you know that that's a friendly church because there's something different about those people.
All right, so if a pastor's listening to this and they hear this and they've read this post, it was on September 19th, we had the original post, but they see this and they understand that this is an issue in my church.
Right.
We already talked about the secret guest survey. That's one way to help. What are some other ways that they can take this information and maybe not make, you can't make a church happy overnight or guest friendly overnight, but how do you get on that process toward that?
Well, let's go back to what you said, and then we'll follow up with that. The first thing is an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change something of which you're not aware, and thus the secret survey.
That's the reason we go to the doctor and find out if what's wrong so we can change to make it better.
Yeah, we make the changes that are necessary. Here is one of the cases, Jonathan, where I truly believe if we begin to do some incremental things, like having intentionality about greeting guests on Sunday, if we begin to do intentional things like let's make sure that we have the eyes of the guests, it will start affecting us the other days of the week. And really, the most guest-friendly church are the disciple churches. And it goes back to, you know, we've done podcasts on this before. It's what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? A disciple of Christ ultimately is a servant. So a pastor, one of the best things that pastor can do is to make sure there's a disciple's path, that there is something that is leading people to get closer to Christ, because that is when they're going to be friendly. It's not as much a methodology as it is a commitment to a different life, to a person.
It's a lifestyle change.
It is a lifestyle change. But in the meantime, you'll never arrive at sinless perfection on this side of eternity. In the meantime, you can start making incremental changes on some of these very practical issues. Do you have signage for guests?
That's another thing I can give away.
What's that?
Is the church facility checklist.
Ooh, you are being generous today.
I am. I'm feeling generous. It's almost time for vacation for me. I got a week off in like 10 days, so I'm ready.
And you're going to Gatlinburg?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Gatlinburg.
I love the beach.
Not as much as Branson, but I love Gatlinburg.
You really like Branson better?
I love it.
Why is that?
It's just better.
Okay. So we get back to these six. Yes, they're lifestyle issues, but there are some changes that you can make now. And going back to your metaphor of going to the doctor and finding out what's wrong, you may not get in perfect shape physically within 3 to 6 months, but you can start doing some things incrementally. These six are incremental changes. Well, really, the first 5 are, and then the 6 is ultimately about discipleship. So The first five offer some intentionality. The sixth says, let's make changes.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Vander Blumen Search Group. They're the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches, just like yours, find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. Dr. Rainer, we talk a lot about Vander Blumen Search Group for churches, but that's also a good reference for pastors or those maybe looking to enter the ministry.
Yes.
They can help match pastors with churches. They don't just match churches with pastors. They go the other way, too.
That's exactly right. In fact, I heard from a pastor who said, Vander Blumen placed me in the church.
Right.
He was not saying at all that God didn't call him, but he was saying the conduit that God used was Vander Blumen. Another thing as a reminder is Vander Blumen is not limited to pastors, staff, nonprofits, a lot of other positions as well. Great organization, great sponsor, great friends.
All right. Thanks again for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe in your favorite podcasting app or in Google Play and iTunes.com. And you can join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.